We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Believe it or not, got a lot to get to on this Thursday in the middle of March. We'll play quarterback bingo with some of the free agent quarterbacks, and we'll examine the brain of Met fans coming up in a little bit. But I'm always a big believer. I always have this discussion with my wife when she gets mad at me. I always say to her, okay, I screwed up, honey, but now what? Like, okay, I screwed up, I apologize, but now what? How do we fix this in the future? And usually she still is mad at me for what I screwed up. But I'm always like, I got you. I screwed up, but now what? I screwed up, yeah, but now what? So that's where things are really, really tricky with the New York Football Giants. I believe they screwed up. I believe they made a big, big mistake in the way they handled Saquon Barkley. They made a mistake in not listening on trade offers, which I thought at the time. We talked about this back in October.
Yeah, but I don't want him traded. That's the problem.
I didn't want him traded either unless you had no...
It was so profound that you had to take it, right, type of thing.
Or if you had no intention of keeping him.
Yeah.
Like, if you weren't going to listen on trade offers, I would then assume that when the salary cap moves up the way it did, you would ensure he's a Giant by tagging him while continuing to work on a long-term contract. They decided not to. And now, even you've said it, Tiggy, it is likelier than not that he's not a Giant next year.
Yeah.
So how does that compute? How do you go from we won't listen on trade offers to now we're willing to let him walk away for nothing?
Well, I think the organization, and by that I mean Joe Shane and the capologist, are betting that Saquon goes into the free market, and he goes as a free agent, sees what the value is out there for running back, free agent running backs, and there are a bunch of them. I mean, at least seven or eight. Now another one, because A.J. Dillon just is also free, that he'll realize, okay, the deal that the Giants were offering me a year ago, It was probably the best one that I'm going to get.
And then he comes crawling back.
And then he comes back.
How often does that work, man? When you say, let him play the field, she'll come back.
Not very often.
She ain't coming back.
Not very often at all. But it's what you do when you're not fully committed or feel that Saquon is absolutely necessary to your offense this season.
I get that, but then you listen on trades. And here's the other reason why they screwed up on not listening on trades. You controlled where he ended up. If you traded him to a team, I bet you bottom dollar he would have re-signed with that team. I doubt a team was trading for Saquon Barkley to then let him leave. So you would have decided his fate. And it wouldn't have been Philadelphia. Spoiler alert. It wouldn't have been Dallas.
I don't know. Philly was a team that needed it.
You know what? Let's say it was Philly.
Yeah.
Then at least you could have taken something from them. You know what I mean? You could have put the Eagle tax on them.
Now he's potentially going there and we get nothing.
So here's the problem. This is where things get tricky. I had this argument with Loogie about the Mets a few weeks ago, and it took a while to get on the same page. I said, hey, just because Kodai Senga's hurt doesn't mean you should change your approach on Jordan Montgomery, right? And my whole point to that is, while I want Jordan Montgomery, just because a pitcher got hurt, if the Mets don't view him as an answer, pivoting would make no sense, right? The Giants can't pivot on Saquon Barkley because they don't like where he's going to sign. That doesn't make sense either.
No.
So for any Giant fan who says, all right, John Mara, you got to step up. You can't let this happen.
But it will. Yeah.
It's too late. You allowed it to happen.
You're right. But the fact that it could be viewed as just malpractice is real.
Yes.
Right? You lose Saquon, but you then lose him to a division rival who's going to torture you for the next couple of years. At least he will in his mind. That's going to be his motivation. They didn't want me. Now I'm in Philly, and this is going to be the most important game for me. That's what you risk by him going to Philadelphia.
So instead of burning the Saquon jersey, do we burn Joe Shane's jersey? Because he's the guy that started this without trading him, Evan said. He's the one that screwed this up. He allowed Saquon to go to Philly.
I think about it independently. Because I can't blame Joe Shane if Saquon decides to sign a free agent deal with the Eagles. I mean, I know that that's the consequence of not getting a deal done, but it's not like he said, go sign with the Eagles, Saquon. Saquon's got to understand it. I just told him, just go to Houston, go to Baltimore, go to the Chargers, go anywhere, go to the Commanders, right? don't go to the Philadelphia Eagles. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I hope someone gets that message to Saquon Barkley. He needs to hear it from Tiki Barber himself, because you never know. It could make a difference. You never know what makes a difference. Trust me. I had a conversation over the weekend with two gentlemen specifically, and I made my opinions very, very clear to both of those gentlemen. All right? And they're very important gentlemen.
And Pete said that he was going to be back. No problem. Don't worry about it.
I'm not revealing what Pete Alonso said to me. I'm not even going to reveal what the other guy from Milwaukee said to me.
You can't call him that.
But I could tell you this.
His name is David Stern. Now, he's a Giants fan. Respect him, man.
That's true. I did find that out. I guess I can admit that. He's a Giant fan. Grew up as a Giant fan.
Right. The man from Milwaukee.
I said to him, this is the one thing I will say, because it's private conversations. I said, did you hate Tiki Barber growing up? It was a good question. As a Giant fan.
Why would he hate me growing
because,
up?
Like the fumbles, like some weird reason.
Right.
And he looked at me so calmly, he's like, no, man, because for, you could talk about all the fumbles, got in the end zone a lot too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, could have gotten it more, but yeah.
If Brandon Jacobs didn't steal all his TDs.
50 of my touchdowns Brandon Jacobs has on his resume.
But you know what I feel good about, and I want Met fans to understand this, and I want Giant fans to understand this? I shot my shot. I made it very clear where I stand. And I'm not going to be naive to tell you that's going to make a difference. I don't have the ego to tell you that I'm going to make the difference. But what I can tell you is I tried, and I left it on the table, and it is clear where I stand. Very clear. And so I know I did all what I can. Tiki Barber just did the same damn thing.
Right.
Saquon Barkley may pick Philadelphia. He may not give a rat's ass about your opinion on where he goes as a free agent, but you tried. And for the Giant fans out there, Tiki left it all on the field.
So what I always did.
That's right. Like he always did.
Right. By the way, is David Stearns coming on the show?
Eventually.
Okay, good. Yeah. Just making sure.
We're forming a nice relationship.
Otherwise, it was a fruitless endeavor.
Oh, no, it was not fruitless. Right, trust me.
The man from
Pete
Milwaukee.
Told you to stand.
My conversation with Pete Alonso, now let's not conflate this, is a private conversation.
Okay, but I'm just trying to...
Like, you keep trying to get something out of it.
Eventually, I will.
Oh, keep trying.
I know he liked the beard.
Actually, don't keep trying. Let's go to Will in Middleford, Connecticut. What's up, Will?
All right, Evan and Tiki, how are you today?
What's up, dude? We're good.
Good.
All right. Listen, I don't get it. Going back to the girlfriend scenario, Saquon says, listen, I want you. I want to be with you. I want you. And they kept spurning him, and the girl keeps spurning him and telling her, no, no, no. And he's saying, but I want you. Later on, he says, well, loyalty doesn't matter. I've been loyal to you. Loyalty doesn't matter. That's what Saquon said. Sorry, Tiki.
Yeah.
That's what Saquon said.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
He did.
He didn't even go to his exit interview. He just said either tag me or whatever. Now you're saying, well, if you do that, listen, girl, if you don't want me, then you got to suffer the consequences. If you don't want me, what can I do? You don't want me. I wanted you, but you don't want me. And I understand it.
Hey.
But if he goes to Philly, you know what? Unfortunately, hey, you didn't want me.
Yeah.
Giants, I laid it out for you. I want to be a Giant for life. I want to put a ring on it,
right?
He said.
Will, your analogy, just to follow it, this is what's happening. He wants to put a ring on it, but she's like, we're good just being, like, dating.
Yeah. Without the jumbo
patch. Let's just keep dating. I don't want that. I don't want that big number. I don't want to commit that big number.
Yeah, but
for that wedding ring and that wedding, I just want to. Can we just date? Can we just live together for a little bit more?
All of that is accurate and fine. But what about the kids? What about the kids?
All of us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the kids?
Right.
If you are upset with the New York Giants, I get it. Again, I just said it. I think the Giants messed up this whole thing. But understand, if you make the decision to sleep with their best friend. The kids are never going to talk to you again.
Yeah, true.
And that's the decision Saquon has to make. And look, if Saquon's good with that, and he doesn't want to have a relationship with Giant fans, and he doesn't care about kids wearing his jerseys, then fine.
Right.
Go to Philadelphia. I get it's a tough decision. I get that Philadelphia offers you a lot.
No, just go find the random in Houston. Or Baltimore. Or L.A. They're pretty out there.
Right? Where do you have a better chance to win a Super Bowl?
The division in the South makes me want to say Houston.
Yeah, but what about the conference? Because you still got to get past Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes.
Like how I put Aaron Rodgers first.
Right.
No. But all the potential landing spots are in the AFC.
Yeah.
Like all the ones that we've heard about Saquon, they're all AFC.
No, I know.
And I think that's on purpose is the wrong word, but I think it's not coincidental because all those teams, Baltimore and the Houston Texans and whoever's going to, you know, buy for the playoffs a year from now, they're going to need another dynamic skill position player to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Well,
but you know what the other reason is? The other reason is we are about to see, and we went through it yesterday, we played running back bingo, if you missed it, where we predicted where all these running backs were going to go because there's so many free agents. Most of the free agents are coming from AFC teams.
Yeah.
So then you have openings like Houston. If they don't re-sign Devin Singletary, that puts them in the race to sign a running back.
Right.
Vegas, if they don't re-sign Josh Jacobs. The Chargers, if they don't re-sign Austin Eckler. So I think a part of why so many of the openings is in the AFC is because they're the ones with the free agents.
Good point.
And it's a game of musical chairs.
And it happens every year because it happened. We were just talking about the DeAndre Swift. I'm like, where did he come from again? I was like, oh, yeah, he was in Detroit. Oh,
yeah.
David Montgomery was there.
Like, and he was in Chicago.
David Montgomery wasn't there a year ago. He was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he came to Detroit, and they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, and DeAndre Swift was the odd man out, so he goes to Philadelphia, and Jamal Williams was there, but now he's in, where was he at? New Orleans. Like, it became like this massive shifting of running backs a year ago that you can't even remember where half these guys were.
And I think we're about to see the exact same thing.
It's absolutely going to happen
on a higher scale because some of these names like Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, they're bigger names.
That's right.
Chris in Monmouth County, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Chris.
Evan and Tiki, good afternoon. How are you guys?
What's up,
thanks
dude?
For taking the call.
You're welcome, man.
Good, what's up?
Evan, you make a lot of good points today.
Oh,
as always. And Tiki, you too. I got to say something. And Evan, this isn't coming at you, but this is just kind of like kind of responding to like your tone of voice, right? And I want to make a quick Mets point if I can answer real
sure,
quick.
Sure, sure.
You say Saquon Barkley, he's a, for a generation, he's their guy. He's really not, though. Like, Tiki made the point, like, he's been with us, I'm not even a Giants fan, but he's been around for like six years. He's always injured. 6 years, big deal, right?
Right. Well, 2020, he barely played because he only played two games. So
it's
five.
It's like,
yeah.
He was a highly touted guy coming out of Penn State with Dave Gettleman saying he's a can't miss. He was a controversial pick because of where he was picked in the draft.
Not his fault.
But to your point, this is not against Saquon. This is just, Tiki, you're an all-time Giant great. Whether you were popular, doesn't even matter, and you were. But Saquon's not a great.
Well, so hold
he's
on.
A popular
but,
Giant.
But Chris, don't forget this. So after 6 years of my career, which was 2003, 2003, maybe it was 2002, whatever it is. I mean, maybe I had 5,000 yards rushing. Maybe. I didn't get really good until the end. And when I was 28, 29, and 30. Those were
but
like
now
new seasons.
Now that all is said and done.
Right.
Those were the Giant great.
But those were the years where it happened for me. And I'm not saying that Saquon's going to have, you know, rush for 1,800 yards and 1,500 yards and 1,600 yards like I did in his next 3 years. But you don't know. The potential's there. He doesn't have a ton of wear because he missed so much time.
My personal opinion, I think his best years are behind him. Again, I'm not against Saquon, but that's my thought. I think the Giants, altogether with the new regime, are looking to move on. Evan, can I make a quick Mets point?
Yeah, but I want to ask you a quick question back because I get what you're saying, but if you are a Giant fan between the ages of 11 and 19, so you're a kid, early teenage years, mid-teenage years, who's your favorite New York Giant in your lifetime?
Yeah, listen, you're right. From a kid's perspective, I'm 47. Saquon's the guy, but from a really looking at it, like, let's be honest, if Daniel Jones goes and there's a new quarterback and there's a new great star wide receiver, running back,
right?
Saquon's going to be like that. He was a good player for us when he played for those 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's going to be that great. Anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
Evan, I'm going to stick up for the Met organization here.
Okay.
I'm a Hojo, Kevin McReynolds, Daryl Strawberry Mets fan growing up. I happen to be married to a Yankee wife forever, and they're all from the Bronx. It is what it is. By the way, I root for the Yankees, I'll be honest, but I'm at my heart, I'm the Mets.
Yeah, right. You got to keep a happy home, man.
I got to say, though, I don't think the Mets, and I listen to Joe, I love Joe, I listen to all the fans calling in, I don't think they've been that
bad of a team for the last 10 years. Even they are a team that in the 2000s have made it to the World Series, have in the recent years have been in the playoffs, have signed star players. I mean, listen, the Matt Harvey thing, give him the ball. You give him the ball. You let it ride 100%. I guess I'm trying to say here, if you look at all the teams in Major League Baseball,
right.
I don't look at the New York Mets as this catastrophe as a franchise.
No. But Chris, you got this wrong. This is where you're wrong. If you're going to rank the Mets versus every other team in Major League Baseball, you're right. Yeah, it's probably more middle of the pack. But there are two things to me. One is kind of ancillary that I'll throw out there at the beginning, and that's the fact that every team in the NL East over the last few years has taken turns getting to a World Series.
Right.
Now let's throw that out there.
Right. It's all relative.
Yeah.
It's relative to the division and then relative to the other team in New York.
That bingo. And that was the bigger thing. So the smaller thing is, you know, the Braves won the World Series in 21. The Nationals won it 19. The Phillies got there.
Yep.
That makes us feel small, that every team in our division is taking turns at playing the Astros in the World Series, which has been the case. But the real reason why the Mets are on a curve, they're marked on a curve, is the existence of the New York Yankees. The Mets making the playoffs is a big freaking deal. To me, it is. And you want to know why it is to me? Because we rarely see it. Like, Lugie and I are the same age. We can count very quickly all of our playoff appearances. Yankee fans can't do that. They forget their playoff years. I seriously had a conversation with Sean the other day, who's not here. He's got good reason. Sean was forgetting, well, 06 is when we did this, and 07 is when we did that. I'm like, oh, my God. Our years in the playoffs are marked on our brains like it was branded. So it's not that the Mets are the worst franchise in sports. It's that we're compared to a franchise that every year, for the most part, is good to really good.
Absolutely. And remember how we always play that would you rather game? Would you rather win one World Series and not make the playoffs the next 9 years? Or would you rather go to playoffs 9 years in a row and not win a World Series? The Mets are neither. They're in neither category.
Right.
So they're kind of in this like abyss as a baseball team. Does that make sense? Like, they don't make the playoffs a lot. They share a town with the Yankees. So I would put them more at the bottom of the barrel because of the comparison to the Yankees. No other team has to do that. Maybe the Angels with the Dodgers. Maybe. That's it. So we have the ultimate big brother, and we don't win, and we're not consistent.
Yeah, and you know, you hit on something else. It's all about winning a world championship. Now, that doesn't mean that every season is... You don't win a World Series, it's a disaster. Because I think you have to look at every single season differently. Yeah. But if you looked around Major League Baseball, and I'm going to do this during a commercial break. I'm not going to do this on the air because it will just, you know. And I thought about every team, and if they've had a longer drought than the Mets, or if they've won it more recently, where would the Mets stack up?
Interesting.
And they probably are not going to stack up too well, considering right off the top of my head, every team in the NL East has won a World Series more recently than the New York Mets.
The Mets.
The Chicago Cubs have won a World Series more recently than the Mets. The Boston Red Sox have won a World Series more recent than the Mets. The Toronto. See, I'm already doing it.
Right.
I don't want to do it. But I'm going to write it down next.
That's off the top of your head. There's a lot.
Well, I would go team by team and go division by division. And you'd see, okay, everybody in the NL East, the Cubs have, the Brewers haven't, the Cardinals have, the Reds have, the Pirates haven't. All right, so we got two teams now in the National League that haven't. Right. The Diamondbacks have, the Dodgers have, the Giants have, Padres and Rockies haven't.
Four
teams in the National League have a longer championship drought than the New York Mets. See, now you got me doing this. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Now you got me doing this.
Off the top of my head, because I study this every year, I think it's like ninth longest drought right now. They're definitely in the top 10. And Evan,
that's
also.
That's bad. That's the bottom third
horrible.
Of the league. Yeah.
Now, Evan, you got that new book, My Mets Bible, April 2nd. You can pre-order now on Amazon. I think you would agree with this in our lifetime. Every single, and it will be detailed in the book, every single great Met moment in our lifetime is followed by an equally bad moment. Right? There's never a great moment that leads to a greater moment. The great moment is followed by a horrible moment on the equal scale.
It's such a great point because someone asked me, all right, what are your favorite Met moments? Actually, the guy who asked me that was David Stearns.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and what did you tell him?
I said the two that jump out at me
was
the Grand Slam single by Robin Ventura, which to Lugie's point was followed by the worst postseason loss maybe I've ever suffered, blowing game six after getting behind early against Atlanta.
Thank God for drugs.
Now, he's the same age as you, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
So everything that you're mentioning, because he grew up a Mets fan.
Yeah, he experienced
everything that you're mentioning, he knows.
Yeah, no, he was.
And does he share the, I don't know, the enthusiasm and angst? Yeah. Is it the same?
I think so.
Oh, so you guys like bonded by
that. To a degree.
All right, so he told you what he's going to do with Pete.
I'm not.
And then Pete said that, right, David Stearns.
Private conversation.
So Pete likes you, so that means Pete must like David Stearns.
Private conversation.
So it's the law of soliloquy, right?
And then the other one that jumped out at me is Johan's no-hitter, which was followed up. See, I don't know if people remember what this followed up with, because I'll tell you what it followed up with. It followed up with him pitching against the New York Yankees in the Subway Series. He pitched a 1-2-3 first inning. I'm in the upper deck with my dad. I'm like, Johnny Vandermeer, baby! He's the guy who pitched the back-to-back no-hitters. What an idiot I was. The Yankees then proceeded to destroy him and annihilate him and honestly end his career.
Right.
Because he got bombed so badly. I think Robbie Cano hit a ball that if you look into the sky, it's still traveling. And that was it. That was the rest of his career. So the two moments that jump out at me, Johan's no-hitter and the Grand Slam single, are followed by hell.
So was he working at? He was working at that point, though.
Who are we talking
Stearns.
About? No. Wait, which one? I'm sorry, Johan?
Johan.
Yeah, Johan is different.
So
yeah.
He probably didn't experience that the same way you
I don't
did.
Think so. No, yeah. I think once you're
aware
in the business.
It. Aware of it, but not like, I can't believe.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a late 90s thing.
Yeah.
And everything in the late 90s was followed
by.
His
loyalties were some other team at that point.
Exactly. We'll get back to your Saquon calls and Giant calls in a second. 877-337-6666. But speaking of the Mets, I did a study last night. I studied everything that's been uttered by a lot of the Met fans around here at this radio station. I studied it very carefully. I listened to G. I listened to Sal.
Shut up!
I listened to Thomas Jefferson Lugauer. I listened to Al Cintron. I listened to Boomer. By the way, Boomer, more spot on of anybody, by the way, but we'll get to that later. Yeah, I think he's got the most careful now, but whatever. And then I studied a bunch of Met fans on social media, and I figured it out. I know their issue, and I'm going to solve it coming up. Live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Exactly 1 hour from now, we'll hear from Bad Tiki. We look forward to that. A lot more football, including Tiki and I playing a game of quarterback bingo. But I really needed to figure something out about my fellow Met fan as we sit 3 weeks away from opening day. We are exactly 3 weeks away from the opening of this baseball season. And so I did a little study last night because I don't sleep, Tiki. I'm up at all hours. And so I examined the conversations here at this radio station and on social media of some prominent Met fans to listen to them. Because sometimes we don't listen to each other. We just don't. We just react and we scream and we get upset and then we get happy. I do it all the time, too. I raise my hand. Listening's important.
Of course.
So I listen to the words of my colleague, Greg Giannotti, who as a Met fan, we're always very different kinds of Met fans.
Okay.
But I respect the hell out of him as a Met fan, which is very different.
Is he angry Met fan?
Yes.
Content Met fan?
No, he's an angry Met fan.
Disappointed?
Angry Met fan, which, by the way, I totally get. I'm an angry Met fan sometimes, too.
Right.
I'm like a chameleon. It depends on the day and the mood of how I feel about a team. There are years in which I'm angry. There are years in which I'm excited. There are years in which I'm the down killer guy. Like, I'll never forget the Mets swept the Yankees in a Subway Series, and all the Met fans were like rollicking through the newsroom. And I would look at them and say, we suck. We're not good. Why are we excited?
Short-term happiness, man.
I knew the big picture.
Okay.
So I'm not always positive. I'm not always negative. So I listened very carefully to what Greg said about the Mets. And number one, and I heard this from Greg and from Sal and from a lot of people on Twitter.
I'm the pro!
And that is disappointment in this offseason, which is obvious. Me too. I'm with you. We're all in agreement on that. And then I hear what the expectations are for this season.
Okay.
And a lot of, well, they're punting, they don't care, so why we should care. But then in the next breath, and this is the common ground, this is why I figured out where the disconnect is amongst Met fans. In the next breath, Met fans like G and Sal and even Loogie.
Loogie!
And a lot of people on social media will say, yeah, they could be in the mid-80s. Yeah, you know, things could break right, sure. And then I think to myself, well, wait a second. I'm not that far off from that. I've never once sat here and said the Mets are winning the National League East. I don't think they're as good as the Atlanta Braves. I mean, I'd be a buffoon to suggest that.
Right.
What I've suggested is that they're better than we think, and we shouldn't let an offseason of disappointment color our thinking. And I've talked about where I think this team could be good and how I think they could win 85, 86, 87 games. So when you really think about it, my opinion on the Mets is not that different than the negatives of Sal and G and Loogie and those on social media.
Shut up!
So then you ask yourself, and I ask myself, okay, so wait a second. If we don't really disagree that much about how good this team
is, how you're presenting it,
I think they're forgetting something.
Which is?
Something that pissed me off 2 years ago, but today benefits all of us. 2 years ago, Major League Baseball changed the rules. They changed the playoff format. And I remember sitting here on this radio station and saying to Yankee fans and Met fans with huge expectations, guys, I love baseball. I love baseball. This regular season don't mean a damn thing.
Mm.
It doesn't mean anything. Winning the division doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
It's just about making the playoffs, and you cross your fingers that you're hot at the right time.
And I remember that year, two years ago,
yes.
Joe Beningo was screaming about, you got to win the division. This is the race with the Atlanta Braves.
It turned out to be right, I guess.
Well, no, it wasn't, because neither one of them did anything.
That's true.
They fought so hard to win the damn division. In fact, I told you, I was at that last series in Atlanta, because I was calling the Falcons game that weekend, and I went to the game. And it was like, man, this is like intense. This is like all this energy, and all DeGrom is doing is throwing fastball after fastball. Even though he got smashed for three home runs in that game, he wouldn't quit throwing fastballs. And then you get to the postseason, and it's like you whimper out.
Yeah,
and
well,
the Philadelphia, the Phillies come from nowhere.
Bingo.
They slow played it.
You're right.
Right.
And I think you know what, you are right about
it's
that.
Travis Kelce with the Kansas City Chiefs. they freaking slow played it, and they stunk offensively. They're middle of the road offense until the regular season. They get to the postseason. Super Bowl champions again.
Those nuggies. You are right.
And
2022, even though it didn't work for the Mets, proved that point because the LA Dodgers won 111 games.
Mm-hmm.
111! That's like almost the 98 Yankees. And they lost in the first round to the 89-win San Diego Padres, right. You know, the team that beat the Mets. And you're right about Atlanta. Atlanta wins 101 games, they come back, they win the NL East, and they lose to the 87-win Phillies. And so it was a lesson that the regular season doesn't matter nearly as much as it used to. And I bemoan that. Like, just as a baseball geek, right. I say, boy, that kind of sucks. But let's put that aside. Now, Met fans, we're in the other boat now. The Mets aren't as good as Atlanta. No one's arguing that. The Mets aren't as good as Philadelphia. No one's arguing that. But we now live in a world that has proof that all you've got to do is make the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sit here all day and tell me about the flaws in the rotation. I'm not arguing with you. But what you can't argue with me about is we live in a new world where if you win 86 games and you make the postseason, I don't give a rat's ass how many wins the Dodgers have. I don't care how many stars they have. In a best of five series, as they've proven year after year, they can lose to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what we need to do. Not that we need to do it. People could do whatever the hell they want. If you want to just think about next year, just think about next year. You don't have to. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But open your mind to realize that this baseball we're watching today is not the one from 5 years ago. It's different. And I think where my optimism lies is not that the Mets are going to win 100 games. It's not that they're better than the Braves. It's that just give me a crack at it. Just give me 86 wins in a playoff spot. And baseball has shown me over the last 2 years, anything can happen.
Right.
Whether it's Texas or it's Arizona or it's Philadelphia or it's even San Diego getting to the NLCS with 89 wins. Because nobody can tell me, and if you say it, you're lying, and that's okay. Nobody can tell me that you wouldn't be excited about the Mets being in the NLCS. You can't tell me that. You'll be fully blown into it at that point.
Well, I mean, it's almost the genius of the new wild card format and the way that this thing has evolved over the last few years, because it's made it like the NFL, where any team can go on a run. It's the hot team that has the chance. It's not the best team. I remember thinking this with people always say this with basketball and with baseball. The best team will win in the 7-game series. Like the best team will rise to the top. But that's not the case anymore.
Not at all.
Right? And so
not at all.
The series and the fact that you can get hot in baseball, even though it doesn't feel like you can, but you can get hot in baseball in the postseason, gives you a chance. Genius.
Yeah. It's funny. Now, I don't want to call it.
It's frustrating, but it's genius from an economic standpoint, because it makes the postseason interesting.
Okay. From an economic MLB overall standpoint, sure, maybe it's great for them. From a selfish standpoint, would I rather have baseball this way? Not really, but it is what it is. It's the hand we
How
have.
How would you rather have it then?
I'd rather reward the better teams of winning in the regular season and having the games matter. But that's not, honestly, that's not my point. It's not even worthy of a debate today. My point is,
I just don't know how you reward them.
The way they used to, but whatever. We can do a podcast on it. I'll invite you on the Rico. My point is this. Don't let anybody tell you that a team can't win the World Series if they also can make the playoffs. That's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. You can't say a team can make the playoffs, but they can't win a World Series. That doesn't make sense. Mm. So again, don't misconstrue what I'm saying, that the Mets are some great team. They're not. But if you think they can win 85 games, if you think that, then you also think they can win the World Series. You do, even if you don't want to admit it because you're not used to it yet.
I don't know if people are willing to go there with you.
Oh, that's fine. Right. Reality's on my side.
Right. No, the actuality is on your side. Like, what's happened over the last couple of years tells you that that's the case, right? But it's hard to convince even the diehardest of fans that the team is good enough to win a World Series, because it doesn't feel like it's a World Series team.
I agree.
And I know it's circumstance that we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, this guy versus this guy on paper, matchup-wise, rotation, bats, etc., managing. It's not, you're not talking about that. But you can't help but do that.
I get it.
You can't help but say, oh, no, our rotation's not even close with the
right.
Braves.
You look at the Braves, you say they're better, right, and say, well,
you look at the Dodgers. Yeah. Oh, it's not what I, even though Yamamoto.
Mm-hmm. That was a spring training star. Calm down over there.
Got rocked.
I get it. I think that, and this is my point, this is where the Met fan and the baseball fans got to get used to something. They're not used to it yet. And just for the record, I said the exact same thing a year ago, but we were on a different side a year ago. A year ago, it was more, boy, we could go out and win 105 games. What the hell does it matter?
Right.
We flame out early like we did in 2022. It doesn't mean a damn thing. So the reality is, we're not used to it yet. Giannotti's not used to it yet. Sal's not used to it yet. You know who gets it? Esiason gets it. I heard the way he was talking this morning. He's like, all right, figure out this rotation, figure out this bullpen. Because he knows, and maybe it's being a hockey fan. That's what hockey is.
Boomer Esiason.
Make the playoffs. I'm not arguing they're better than the Braves. I'm arguing what the sport is today. And by the way, what I'm telling you may make you say, boy, the regular season in baseball is a waste of time. You may be right. It's not good that this is the case, but this is the world we're in.
Just don't be bad enough to miss the playoffs.
Look,
basically what you're saying.
Make the playoffs. Ask yourself this, and then explain it to me like I'm a 2-year-old. If you think a team can make the playoffs, how can you then think they can't get to or win a World Series? We just saw the Diamondbacks do it. Even a year earlier with Philadelphia. I know they had a lot of talent on their roster. Mm-hmm. They won 87 games. They were trying to blow a playoff spot the entire month of September, and then they made it. And then they beat the Braves!
Dude, Texas struggled down the stretch last year, and they won the World Series. They got in, they got hot, and they won the World
Series.
Look at
you, you're convinced.
You convinced me, and I hate you for it, by the way. But you did convince me. And really, honestly, as a fan, to have the low expectations, it'll make the run even better, because you went in with zero expectations. Hey, they're not a World Series team. There's no pressure. It's house money. That'll make it even more fun. Plus, there's so many unknowns. We have no idea. Francisco Alvarez could be Corbin Carroll of last year. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of unknowns. So how could we even sit here and say, well, they're only going to win this many games? We have no idea. We thought they were going to be great last year. They sucked. So maybe they're going to be awesome this year. You know what, Evan? You're right, and you convinced me.
Wow.
Loogie! You got into my brain. I'm sorry for that. That was probably a deep, dark place.
That's all right.
But you convinced me.
Because we're not used to this yet, and it's uncomfortable. And I get that. We're not used to this yet. This is really new. And a year ago, when we had higher expectations as Met fans and Yankee fans, I think we looked at opening day and said, yeah, we're excited, but by the God, it's going to be a long haul till October because we just assumed we would be there, and we weren't. And the seasons were disasters for both teams on different levels, but it's just about getting in because I can promise you this. I believe that 96% of Met fans who say, you're full of crap, Evan, even if they won 85 games, they can't win anything, they're not good enough. If they're playing a postseason game on October 5th, 2024, you're going to be moist. You're going to be excited. That's from a drop. I'm not sure why I said it. I think Boomer and Gio have figured it out, and I don't know the answer. But that's why I say that. You're going to be pumped. And why wouldn't you be? Because, you know, Tiki, how many times the New York Mets have been in the postseason just in my lifetime? Not a lot.
Six.
I think I told you. Yeah. 99.
I think I remember that. I don't know why that number jumped in my head.
Because it's pathetic. 99, 2000, I mean, 2006.
You did it when you did the 15. You were doing the Yankees. Yeah. And you were like, this year. I was like, oh, wow.
That's moist. That's why the Yankee perspective on it may be a little different. Yeah. It may be, hey, dude, yeah, I'm excited to see Juan Soto. Get me to October. For the Mets, it's if they could somehow make October, of course they could be dangerous. So don't take it. You can take it however you want. But don't take it as Evan's delusional. He thinks the Mets are winning 95 games. I haven't said that. I haven't said they're better than Atlanta. I haven't said they're better than Philly. What I'm saying is in the world we live in now, it doesn't take much to be a contender. And all I want, Tiki, is the seventh appearance.
Right. It's crazy because now you play for health. Because think about the Phillies a couple years ago. It was like, all right, Bryce Harper's banged up. He didn't play a lot of the season, but he got healthy at the right time.
At the right time.
And so if you're the Mets and you're thinking about managing, I don't know, your rotation or someone's on the IL, let them, right? As long as it's not compromising you winning enough games to get to the postseason, you can manage your health a little bit differently.
Yeah. Problem is they're going to need every piece to get
there.
That's
true.
That's why Kodai Senga missing a month is kind of a big deal. But I think I solved the Met mental issue. We just have to look at it that way. And that's the reality of the baseball we live in. Not saying I love it, not saying this is the way I would make Major League Baseball, but that's the world we live in. You win 85 games, you can win a World Series. You can get to a World Series. And so 3 weeks from today, let's go. Maybe this is the year.
Probably not.
No shot.
Let's go to Mike in Lindenhurst, New York. How are you, Mike?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
What's up?
Evan, don't say moist anymore, please. listen, I got another one of those moments that is ruined by another one, and I'm surprised you guys didn't mention it already.
What's that?
It's actually in the same game.
Oh, Andy Chavez followed by losing game there 7 of the Cardinals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's one's worst one of all.
It's why, though, to me, Mike, that is not a moment I look back on and celebrate. Mm. Because ultimately, they lost the game. You know, it's tough to really think that positively about something when you lost the game. Because that's what this whole thing is about. So, I don't even look at it as an all-time great moment. Though a few years ago, I tried to recreate the Andy Chavez catch by jumping in the snow.
What do you mean?
Yeah. I'm
a loser.
I was actually emulating the Andy Chavez emulation of his own catch. So, Andy Chavez, in the snow, decided to emulate his great catch against the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
And it went viral. And I said, you know, in honor of my man Andy Chavez, even though I don't necessarily celebrate the moment.
Did you look anything like him?
What do you think?
Bro, Andy took his shirt off. He's jacked. He's ripped. Evan had his DeGrom jersey on. He almost slipped on his balcony. So, no, it was not that good.
But I jumped in the snow and made the play.
But you know what? The effort. A for effort. And he didn't make the play. Didn't look good getting there, but you got it.
I'm a loser. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. What's up, Josh?
I'm just so late.
Josh. Is he in trouble?
Yeah. Sounds like it. Yeah.
Is that kids in the car or is he getting yelled at by his wife?
A little teenage boy growing up.
Talking to his kids, you think?
Somebody's throwing up. What was that?
Somebody's throwing up in the back seat.
That's interesting.
Josh!
Get that.
I'm going to put him on hold. I don't want to hang up on him. I feel too bad, especially if the kid's barfing on the car or something like that. Let's go to Mike in Belmar, New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
Evan, Tiki, it's always a pleasure. Hey, Evan, you solved all the problems for the Mets and the Met fans, and now I want to hopefully solve all the problems for Giant fans and Joe Shane. Because here's the thing. this is such a gigantic offseason for Joe Shane. I want to believe in him, and I want to believe that he's going to be the guy for the Giants. But for him, this free agency, this draft is so big.
Huge.
And
yeah, it is. There's so many holes.
The oh my God! And the message for me is simple. And this hopefully gets to Joe Shane. So Tiki, bring it to him, because the message for me is pretty simple, and it's conviction. Because every great throughout, you guys know. I mean, think about how you got to where you are, Evan and T, for both of you, this show, and being great to be here, and believing in yourself when blocking out outside noise. Tiki, to become a great NFL running back, blocking out outside noise and believing in yourself and having conviction, right?
Yeah.
So Joe Shane, and it started with him with the big decision with Jones, because he wasn't his guy coming in, right? And what happens? He has a season. He has that big decision. Is he going to sign him? Is he not? Once he signs him, that was the first gigantic decision as a GM. And
right.
He had the conviction to sign him, and he signs him.
Yeah, the what challenge, though, Mike, is that he might be regretting it. That's,
right, but
that's the challenge.
The
that's the only challenge he's facing.
But here's the thing with the conviction, Tiki, because here's the thing. He didn't provide him with an offensive line, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't provide him with that O-line. He gets hurt last year, right? As a product, he gets hurt. So now the best chance for them to win this year, I'm sorry, the best chance by far for them to win, go out, get him a right tackle. You're in a position right now in the draft to possibly get a legit wide receiver number one, right? Bring in a couple guards to offensive
depth,
line depth.
Hope make drink, you know, gets better, et cetera, et cetera. Right.
Make Evan Neal earn that spot on the offensive line. And I would try to do everything I can to bring in Saquon. But if your conviction is, you know what, I can do it with getting the best running back that's there at a good rate, like whoever, Swift, whatever, that I bring in Barkley personally. But have conviction in your decisions that you're going to make and go do it. Because the last possible thing, Joe Shane, that you need to do right now, I don't care what the outside noise says, including some of those guys in the studio with you guys right now, drafting a quarterback.
Uh-oh.
No. We lost him. Oh, there he is.
Sorry,
I lost him.
My bad.
Drafting a quarterback, what?
Right.
Like, look.
Oh, I think he's what he's going to say, basically, is a waste of a resource. It's a waste of creating.
It's not if you don't believe in the quarterback.
Yeah.
If you want to move on and you really do have buyer's remorse,
but
then.
I do think that they believe in Daniel Jones. It's just it's gotten to the point where they can't trust that he's going to be available. And then, I don't know which is worse, not believing in the guy or not believing that he's going to be available.
I think it's the same thing, honestly.
But that's what I was going to say. Ultimately, it basically you get to the same point.
Yeah, I look at it the exact same way. I think sometimes we get caught in, is Daniel Jones good enough versus right. Daniel Jones reliable? It's the same thing. Do you believe he could be the quarterback long term? Doesn't matter why you don't believe it.
Yeah.
Just do you believe it? And all indications are they don't believe it. Chris and Flint, what's up, Chris?
Hey, Tiki, Evan, my whimsical brother from another mother.
My fellow whimsical brother, how you been?
Oh, been good. You know, I've called and we've said it before. We said the template could be the same as the Diamondbacks and the Rangers from last year. You get in the playoffs and you can win. There's no reason this Mets team couldn't do that. I'm not down on this rotation as a lot of people. I know, you know, we got these, what do they call it, Yankee scraps and whatever. I got to tell you, I have a big feeling that Adrian Hauser is actually going to be our best pitcher. And I don't know why.
Is that a good thing, though?
Well, with Senga down, I mean, we need someone to step up.
The way I view the rotation, because I can't sit here as whimsical as I am, and tell you that Luis Severino is going to be the best of himself, and yeah. Sean Manaea is going to be the best of himself, and Adrian Hauser is going to pitch to a 3.7 ERA and make 30 starts. I can't do all of that, but here's the template. And I think this is the template that's a little bit more realistic. This is the template that maybe you can buy on how the Mets can be a good team in 2024. Pitch average. Be an average rotation. You don't have to be great. It's not going to be great. You can't be horrible. You've got to be average. Because I think the bullpen has a chance to be great. Because I think this offense has a chance to be significantly better than what it was a year ago. And so if you have yourselves a top three offense in the National League, which they can, they have the potential. Mm-hmm. A lot of questions are going to have to be answered, specifically bounce back years from Marte and McNeil and Brett Beatty breaking through. You don't need a dominant rotation. And here's the other thing that's weird for us as Met fans. That's weird for us, that whole thing. What I just said, that format is weird.
That the rotation isn't the strong point.
Yes, because right. our history is built around rotations right. being the strong point. Maybe not 2006 necessarily, but going into the year, we certainly saw that before guys got hurt, like Pedro Martinez and El Duque right before the postseason, and certainly having Tom Glavine on the roster. Usually the Mets are built on pitching. In 2015, they were built on pitching. They're not built on pitching. The format or the formula for this team to be good is to just be average. So ask yourself, can Severino be average? Can Hauser be average? Can Manaea be average? Quintana, to me, is better than average. If you can get all that, then you have at least the framework for how this team can be decent. And that's by scoring runs and having a dominant bullpen. 3 weeks away from opening day, I'm getting tingly.
And you know what? They have sports on their side. How often have we seen a team like the Dodgers? Everybody thinks they're going to win. They won't. Everybody thinks Atlanta's going to win. They won't. Nobody sees the Mets coming.
It's funny. No one sees it coming.
RKO out of nowhere.
Absolutely. And you know who I've convinced? Not convinced. You know who I've softened just a little bit?
Who?
I could tell. Joe Beningo. He has been very anti what this Met team has done this offseason, which
Thank God for drugs.
It feels like they haven't done a lot.
I agree. I'm not high on what they've done this offseason either. Like, I'm disappointed. I wouldn't say it's been an awful offseason, but I'm disappointed. I see the long-term plan. But I spoke to Joe, and the thing I reminded him, because a lot of things I tell him, he's like, yeah, I don't buy it. That's fine. But I say, Joe, you know what you love? Because I know him. I know what he loves. He loves when everybody doubts something. Everybody doubts it. No one believes it. So A-Rod in 2015, he sat here on the radio and said, bro, this A-Rod's going to have a monster year. There was no reason for A-Rod to have a monster season. Everybody thought he was an idiot.
Right.
Doug Gottlieb called up one day at the gym to just tell Joe he's an idiot. And Joe's like, what? Because Gottlieb was like, there's no way A-Rod could hit 30 home runs. And Benigno's like, no, he can. And by the way, Joe was right. So the Mets have everybody thinking they're going to be mediocre to bad.
Right, but including Joe.
Including Joe.
Is Joe's now on that side.
No, he's still on the side that they're going to be bad, but he understands the whole no one sees it coming. Mm. The whole,
that's my bad.
Like, everybody's doubting him. Now, the other thing that convinced him is everybody in contract years. Because that is a common belief that guys in contract years tend to perform at a higher level, and you've got basically an entire rotation.
I wish there was a science around that, because it's so true. It just happened.
Can you look it up or at least find it?
What do you mean?
Can you do a study, not today, maybe right. over the next 3 weeks, where Tiki Barber dives deep in a rabbit hole of guys on contract years and if they perform better?
Because think about Daniel Jones a year ago.
Yeah.
It was basically a contract year.
Contract year.
Right? Same thing with Saquon.
Aaron Judge.
Two years ago. Yeah. Aaron Judge. Yeah. The examples are plentiful. They just all... every team you can think of has guy on a contract year has an unbelievable season.
Are you going to do it? You going to study
it? I'm going to look at it.
I love it. See, this is the rabbit hole Lugie and I like. Right. Getting to that rabbit hole.
Uh-oh. It's another Tiki Barber rabbit hole.
Come to any conclusion.
Well, the conclusion you may come to is...
I can tell you what happened, but I can't tell you why. Like, the psyche of a guy...
Well, we don't care about the why. We care that it happens. Because the Mets have an entire rotation of guys on contract years, essentially. So if you're telling me guys perform better on contract years and all of those guys have career years, I'll never forget. This is really going to be whimsical.
Then that's the coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Every single starter has except for Senga, every single guy has something to prove.
Yes.
And having something to prove just heightens your awareness a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it makes you dangerous.
It makes you dangerous. And if you stay healthy, then four guys have contract or
no
big
doubt.
Years and contract years.
I forget the exact year. I think it was 21. The 21 San Francisco Giants, when they won an absurd amount of games, 106, 107 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they came out of nowhere. They were one of the biggest stunners I ever remember. And you look at that roster and you say to yourself, what? How the hell did that happen? Because sometimes everything breaks right. Now, I know what Met fans are thinking. Come on, Evan. Everything's going to break right. Probably not. But that team.
The Mets.
But that team won like 107 games. It was kind of crazy. Hello, SNY. They're on early today because we've got a Mets game at night, which I am very pumped up for because it could distract me from Nets Pistons, which is a G League game. which I will be watching tonight. So I'm going to be watching the Mets, and I'll be watching the Nets.
G League, that's a CYO game.
It pretty much is. And Ben Simmons, you're dead to me. All
right? You called it. You said it yesterday.
He'll never play another game for the Brooklyn Nets.
He's definitely not in 2023 or 2024.
And 2025.
All right.
And 2026. We'll come back and get to your calls, 877-337-6666. Plus, are we excited about the boxing match heard around the world that's been officially set for the middle of July? We'll get to it coming up.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.